Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what we're going back. We've been looking at this over the last couple of weeks. Strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the things which remain. As I said previously, over the past few years, there's been a kind of an apparent shift in certain parts of the church, certain circles of the church, a shift towards abandoning some of the very clear, unambiguous teachings and instructions of Scripture. And as I've seen this happen, that these words keep rising in my spirit. Strengthen the things which remain. Strengthen the things which remain. So we've been reminding ourselves over these last couple of weeks that there's two means of staying. You know, God never asks you to do anything, but He makes everything available in order for you to do it. Mm-hmm. Doesn't just make enough available, He always makes more than enough. You can have as much of Him as you want. You can have as much of His power as you want. You can have as much of His presence as you want. You can have as much of His glory as you want. You're the one who decides. He withholds no good thing. Who knows? His presence is a good thing. Yeah. There's no better place to be than in His presence. Yeah. In His presence there's no misery, despair, despondency, depression, because in His presence there's fullness of joy. That's got to be a good thing.
Yes, amen.
He withholds no good thing from anyone who desires it. Yeah. His presence. He doesn't withhold His power. Who knows His power is a good thing?
Yeah.
Come on, it says in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing nasty, horrible things to people. No, He went about doing good. His power is always a good thing, and He never withhold His power from you because it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You can have as much of His power as you want. I know that some people can't get their head around that because they're too religious. But I'll tell you, the reality is, you can have as much of His power as you want. If you don't have as much of His power as you want, it's not because He's withholding it from you.
That's right.
It's because maybe you don't really want it after all.
Yeah.
Maybe you're afraid it'll show up and change you. Maybe you're afraid His power will show up and challenge you. Maybe you're afraid His power will show up. That'll always be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Because when God challenges, His challenge is always the forerunner of His change. Yeah. His supernatural change and transformation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That's always a good thing. Mm-hmm. His glory. Well, His glory is synonymous with His goodness. That's going to be the goodest thing. Mm. He'll never withhold His glory from you. Hallelujah. You can have as much of His glory as you want. You can have as much of His glory as you want. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Yes.
So we've been reminding ourselves, folks, there's two means of staying spiritually strong. And they must be employed together. You know that we have an enemy, don't we? And he's always trying to knock us off balance, always trying to distract us, divert us. And that's why we must maintain everything in the balance that God created. Some people just say, well, we just want the Word. We want more of the Word. Well, the Word, I tell you, you can't live without it, Jesus said. You must have the Word. I tell you, I love the Word of God. I want to tell you, I love it. I believe it. I've never doubted it. I never doubt His Word. I might doubt my ability to believe His Word, but I never doubt His Word. I might doubt my ability to walk in His Word, but I never doubt His Word.
Yeah.
I've never once questioned His Word. His Word is His Word is His Word is His Word, and He never, not ever, not even for a moment, ever even considers breaking His Word or changing His Word.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. His Word is established.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. We must have His Word, but we must also have the fullness and maintain the fullness of the Holy Spirit, because the Word without the Spirit, or the Spirit without the Word, it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Some people say, we don't want any more teaching, we don't want any more, we've had enough preaching, I've got preaching coming out of my ears. You know why it's coming out of your ears? Because you never let it into your ears. Every time it hits your ears, it rebounds. That's why it's coming out of your ears. It's designed to go in your ears and down into your heart.
Yeah.
Right. I've never heard anybody say, I was eating yesterday, I'm not going to bother eating today. I sat down 3 days ago and ate a plateful Besides, I'm out of Everest. I don't think I'll bother eating again for a while. We were out for dinner last night, and I still had a hearty breakfast this morning, and I was ready for it. Amen? Hallelujah. You must have the Word and the Spirit together. The Word of God and the fullness of the Spirit. That's the means that God has provided for us to remain spiritually strong. If you're strong spiritually, you'll be strong every other way. Do you hear what I said? Yeah. I said if you're strong spiritually, you will have supernatural strength available to you to help you with every other part of your life. It's not enough to have the outward appearance of a successful church. As I said before, with all of the associated programs and activities, I'm not saying there's no merit in these things, but there must be more. And that's why we've been looking at this church in Sardis that Jesus spoke to through the Apostle John. Revelation chapter 3 verses 1 to 6, it says, to the messenger of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your words. Aren't you glad that he knows you? Does that scare you sometimes? I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive. For some folks, their reputation is the most important thing. They work all of their effort, all of their strength goes into maintaining their reputation. Your reputation is nothing. Why do I know it's nothing? Because Jesus became of no reputation. As far as Jesus was concerned, his reputation was the last thing on his mind.
That's right.
He knew a reputation means nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It means nothing. In reality, it means nothing. When everything's stripped away, reputation means nothing. I know your works. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, he says, strengthen what remains and is about to die, for I have not found your works complete in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, obey it and repent, but if you do not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people, it says in Sardis, who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, dressed in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Who knows, you don't become part of the church by showing up somewhere and joining a church. Saying the right things, acting the right way. No, when you're born again of the Spirit of God, you are added to the church. God adds you to the church. Not everybody who says they're saved is saved. Not everybody who says they're part of the church is really, truly part of the church.
Right.
He has an ear to hear. I will never blot out his name from the book of life. As I said before, everybody's name is in there. But tragically, some names will be blotted out. Who will they be? They'll be the ones who weren't real. The ones who out and out rejected him. Or the ones who maybe even pretended to some extent to accept him, but it wasn't real. Everything was on their terms. I want to explain tonight very quickly, if we haven't got it already, God does not come to us on our terms. We come to him on his terms. Is that too easy? You see, if we believe that God comes to us on our terms, then we can ignore part of his word, or we can remove part of his word, or we can just... So as we've been looking at this church in Sardis, we recognize some parallels between the city of Sardis I went and I looked at the history of this city, and there were some parallels there between this city and this church and the culture and the church on our island right here, on the island of Lewis. Because Sardis was famous internationally for exporting textiles and woolens. What are we famous for? Harris Tweed. The church in Sardis had a strong spiritual pedigree and heritage. Looked at this a little bit last week. I don't want to cover too much of what we covered before. But it's important that we remind ourselves of this. They had a strong spiritual pedigree and heritage. They were one of the churches that came out of Paul's time at Ephesus, when all of Asia Minor heard the word, where the word of God prevailed. Strong churches grew out of that. And this is one of these churches, but something's gone a bit amiss somewhere. The church had a name and reputation that it was alive. But Jesus said, actually, the reality is, you're dead. You have a reputation that you're alive, but you're dead. Last time I mentioned about Moses' tabernacle, and how Moses' tabernacle represented a system of temporary atonement. And as I was reading through these first few books of the Old Covenant, as the Jews call the Torah, these first five books, and a lot of the instruction in there that God gave to Moses regarding this tabernacle and this system of sacrifice, I began to see a lot of things and be reminded of a lot of things, and have a lot of things refreshed in my memory and in my understanding. And that Moses' tabernacle, it represented a system of temporary atonement. And I realized as I was reading that it didn't really require a lot of personal conviction to receive from it. You see, people brought their sacrifices of necessity.
Yeah.
It was necessary to bring these sacrifices in order to receive this temporary atonement. But you didn't have to have a whole lot of personal conviction. You didn't even have to agree with it. You just had to bring it. Whereas David's tabernacle, God says, I'm going to rebuild a tabernacle, but it isn't going to be Moses' tabernacle. It's going to be David's tabernacle, because David's tabernacle, we are not blessed this evening just in that time of worship. We are not reminded that this is why you're here, this is what you were created for. David's tabernacle represented something very different from Moses' tabernacle. It represented a new creation life surrendered and submitted completely to God on His terms, in worship, in spirit and truth. That's why when God promised to rebuild a tabernacle, it wasn't the tabernacle of Moses He spoke about. Acts 15, verse 16, He says, after this I will return and I will rebuild the tabernacle of David which has fallen down. Strengthen the things which remain. I will rebuild its ruins and I will set it up. Why the tabernacle of David? Because David's tabernacle represented a heart. Represented someone who decided they could not live a moment longer without God's presence. They couldn't go through all of the rituals of religion. They couldn't even sit on the throne of God's people and enjoy all of the privilege and the prestige that entailed without God's presence. The most important thing was to have God's presence back where it belonged. The tabernacle of David represented a heart after God. It was a prophetic picture of the church that Jesus said He will build.
Yeah.
He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell won't stand a chance against that church. Remember, the tabernacle of Moses was proclaiming something. It wasn't redundant. It was very important. It's vital to understand what it was all about, what God was speaking. I tell you, if you didn't follow, Moses was had a very, very detailed list of instructions as to how things were to be put together and how things were to be done within that environment. But it was proclaiming something, as I said last time. It was proclaiming, God was saying, I am the Lord. Over and over again He says, I am the Lord. Even Leviticus, all these instructions, it's like instruction after instruction. Just in case you think that you're you know, someone's just gone off into legalistic lists of instructions. No, he says, over and over and over again, he reminds them, I am the Lord, and I'm communicating something to you through this. I am communicating to you that not only I am the Lord, but I am holy. I am holy. And this is what he's saying. He's saying, this is what it means to be holy.
Yeah.
Just in case you have any doubt in your mind what it means, this is what it means to be holy. I mean, I was reading, and I don't know if I speak last night, but I don't know if I really got all the time. But do you know what God said about the people who were already inhabiting that land? It said that they had become so wicked that the land was vomiting them out.
Mm-hmm.
I want you to get a picture of that. The land, you know, the Bible says that the all of creation groans in travail. When man sinned, the land suffered. God says the land, the people have become so wicked, they're so wicked that they're worshipping Molech. It's all about idolatry, it's all about child sacrifice, it's all about homosexuality and bestiality. That's what he said. I'm not saying that, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said because of the wickedness, and they've had time to repent, I've given them time after time after time to repent, but they're not repented, and because of that the land is vomiting them out, and now I'm giving this land to you, and you need to live there, and you need to live holy there, or the land will vomit you out the same way as it vomited them out. Say, ah, well, got it, thank the Lord. That's the old covenant. Well, Jesus used the same language. And he used it to a church. One of these churches that had the same spiritual pedigree and heritage as this church in Sardis.
Yeah.
He said, because you're neither cold nor hot, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. He said, don't get me wrong here. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with that? I might tell you, as far as God's concerned, you're holy.
That's right.
You've been declared holy because of the blood of Jesus. And this is what I want to catch on. But it didn't change anything apart from our relationship with God. It didn't change. God didn't become less holy because of the blood of Jesus. No, he just gave us a greater opportunity to be holy like he is holy. That's what the blood of Jesus does. It takes our holiness to a new level. It doesn't bring his down, it brings ours up.
That's right.
But somehow, in some twisted, perverted way, it's almost like there's this, even never mind in any other church, but the Pentecostal Charismatic Church, there's this bogus understanding that all of a sudden God's not as holy as he used to be. Well, he still uses the V word, it would appear. I said it last week, I'd love to get the church, just in what, a few thousand folks in the church, and say, like, guys, how serious are we about this?
Mm-hmm.
On a scale of 1 to 10, just how serious are we about this?
Mm-hmm.
Let's just be honest, because there's no hiding place from his eyes. He knows exactly how serious we are. We might be self-deluded, but we can't delude him. He's not deluded, not one bit. He knows exactly where we're at. He speaks to this church, he says, I know your works. And I'm coming to you, not because I'm writing you off, I'm coming to you with a message. Wake up. Repent. Remember what you heard. What you received. Get back to that. Strengthen the things that remain and are about to die. I've given you everything that you need in order to accomplish this, to maintain this place of strength. Hallelujah. The tabernacle of Moses was proclaiming, I am the Lord. It was proclaiming, I am holy. It was proclaiming, this is what it means to be holy. Whereas David's tabernacle, it was the response of a heart after God. that the response from David's tabernacle was, yes, you are holy.
Yeah.
Yes, you are holy. Yes, you are the Lord. You are the Lord. You write, come on, all of the songs are a response to his declaration. Worship is a response to his declaration. Yes, you are the Lord. Yes, you are holy. I have come to worship you in your holiness. I embrace your holiness. I want to be holy. Just like you are holy. I want that. I want that. I desire that with all of my heart. I've got it wrong so many times. I still get it wrong so many times. I still blow it so many times. But I want to be holy. I want to be holy. Hebrews chapter 12, it says in verse 25, be careful. Some folks don't think that's New Covenant language, but this is... I make no apologies. I'm not going to apologize for God's word. It says, be careful, be aware. Take care, folks. Watch out. Mind your step. Have a look at your walk. Examine your walk. Have a look around you. Where are you walking? Are you walking in dangerous places? Are you actually walking up the middle of the road when you thought you were on the sidewalk? Are you about to get steamrolled? Because that's what he said, I'll come to you as a thief and you will not. Because you thought you were walking on the pavement and you were walking right up the middle of the road because you weren't careful enough to observe where you were walking. Be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. He has an ear, let him hear. Who's speaking? The Holy Spirit is saying to the church. The one who comes and makes that word alive. The one who makes that word real to you. The one who takes that word and makes that rhema word for you. Breathes life into it. Makes that now word. The word, the exact word that you and I need to hear right now. You know, there may be a lot of other people that needed to hear this word right now, but they're not here. But we're here. So be careful that you do not refuse to listen to the one who is speaking. For if the people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger, we will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. We thought it was a downgrade. No, it's an upgrade. We thought there's no room to have any nervousness or anxiety anymore. Well, I'll tell you what, no there isn't. If your heart's after God.
Right.
If you've made a determined decision in your heart that you're going to pursue him with everything that's within you. Not out of your own strength, not out of some kind of religious striving kind of way, but taking advantage of all of the means that he's made available to you to pursue him. To come right into his presence and hang out there as long as you like, as much as you like, as often as you like, and receive as much from him as you want. I wonder, Paul said, I'm a bit concerned about you. Sometimes I really do get a little bit concerned. Well, Jesus is more than concerned. He's coming in like a steamroller and he's saying, I've got issues with you people. With my church. This isn't looking like the blueprint I have for the church that I am building. There's some stuff in here. We need to come in here and do some. What do they call that when someone builds a new house, you know, and the snagging? You know, after that, the contractor hands it over to the person and they say, well, here's your house. And you say, well, I'm just going to have a quick look around and maybe take a few days to have a look around just to make sure that everything's the way I wanted it. And usually there's a list, they end up with a list because they look and say, well, that doesn't look quite right, or that's not exactly the colour I wanted. It's called snagging. Jesus is coming to his church and he's doing a bit of snagging. And you know what? He has the absolute right to do so. Because he's the one who bought and paid for that charge.
That's right.
I tell you, you know that some contractors can get stroppy. Mm. Oh, they can get very stroppy if you let them. They'll say, oh, I guess you hang on a minute. We had a contract. We call it a covenant in the church. You took my money.
Yeah.
We bought and paid for it. If I don't like this, then it has to change. If this isn't the way I had it on the original plan, then I'm sorry, but I ain't changing my plan. This is going to have to get sorted. There's a bit of correction going to have to happen here. We're going to have a wee bit of readjustment. Mm. Well, I don't know if I like that. Well, that's tough. I was getting ready to move on to my next job. We ain't going anywhere till this is...
No.
We could run with that one, couldn't we? We could run with that. Maybe somebody will come back and preach that one day. That sounds like a very good theme. The people of Israel did not escape when they refused to listen to Moses, the earthly messenger. We will certainly not escape if we reject the one who speaks to us from heaven. When God spoke from Mount Sinai, his voice shook the earth. But now he makes another promise. Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things will remain. Since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let us be thankful and please God by worshipping him with holy fear and awe. For our God is a devouring or a consuming fire. Who's this written to? Is this part of, did I take that quote from Deuteronomy? No, that's from the New Covenant. In fact, it's at the end of the chapter that we started singing about, and I look and turn your eyes upon Jesus, look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We'll just go down a few lines. This is what he's saying. Are you not thankful tonight for the blood of Jesus? We were singing that hymn, that old hymn, as we began our worship this evening. Was it something open off on the inside of you? Are you washed in the blood? I love to respond to that song. Yes, I'm washed. Yes, I'm washed in the blood. Yes, I'm washed in the blood. You're not thankful tonight for the righteousness of Jesus that he has gifted to us. You know, we understand the realities of what the blood of Jesus has accomplished in our heart. That should always produce not more license to run out and live life any way we want it. No, it should always produce more reverence and awe. That's what it's designed to produce. That's what it's supposed to produce. When we're saying, I'm washed in the blood, that's got to be, oh, thank God for that, now I can just go and do it in the light. No. That's supposed to bring reverence and awe.
Yeah.
More worship in spirit and truth. Never less. Always more. In Psalm 130 verse 4, it says, but there is forgiveness with you. And in Amplified, it says, just what man needs, that you may be reverently feared and worshipped. That verse has always just done something for me, man. There's forgiveness with you. In the Old King James, it just says, there is forgiveness with you that you may be feared. But here in the Amplified, it says, there is forgiveness with you that you may be reverently feared and worshipped. That fear, and it's awe, it's that, whoa. And fear comes in so many different shapes and forms, and we understand it in so many different ways. But I tell you what, you know, there's a healthy fear. It's a holy fear. That's what a healthy fear is, a holy fear. When you begin to consider how holy God is, and that's what he demonstrated for us, that's what he sought to communicate to us through through Moses' tabernacle, through the law, through all of this stuff. He wasn't just laying something on people just to take that, you bunch of... No. He was communicating something about who he is. And who his people must be. If they're going to be his people. So when you begin to consider just how holy God is, then the fact that he has provided a way for us, for you and me, I don't know about you, but I certainly know about me. I know enough, I don't even know me as well as he knows me, but I know enough about me to be incredibly grateful and thankful that he has provided a way for me to be forgiven. And I should always inspire an increase of awe that transforms my worship. That causes me to cry out and worship to him. Thank you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your righteousness. You know, God spoke through the prophet Haggai one time. He said something to him. He said, my house is in ruins. He said, I've got an issue with you folks, because my house is in ruins, when all the time you guys are just running to your own houses. You're a lot more concerned with your own houses than you are with my house. And let's not get things wrong here, for God knows that if you don't put his house first, nothing's really going to go right with your house. Amen? Have we got that far yet? That's a hard lesson. It's really quite an easy lesson that a lot of people never learn. Or they forget it very quickly. If you don't put his house first, then nothing will come right in your house. And I'm not even telling you that everything will come right immediately in your house, but it will always come right if you do what he said. That's why sometimes you need faith. That's why he designed us to live by faith. I'm just going to do what he says. I'm going to put his house first, and I'm going to believe. It don't matter how long it takes. Doesn't matter how far away it appears to be from what he has said. I'm believing if I do what he says, he will do what he promised. Yeah. If I will put his house first, then everything in my house will come right. It has to come right because I'm putting his house first. Always first. Always first. Always first. At the top. I ain't messing with order or priority or anything else. No, always first.
Yeah.
Always first. I said always first. It's not legalism. It's just common sense. It's not legalism. It's worship. It's what it is. It's worship. It's not just Sunday worship. No, it's worship. It's not just shake that tambourine and I worship. No, it's worship. Didn't take long to go for a tambourine at a pity party, did it? Nothing new under the sun. God spoke to these people. He said, your priorities are wrong. And that's why nothing's working for you according to God's perfect plan and purpose. You need to reorder your priorities. Jesus said, I will build my church. He said something. He said he would build that church upon the rock of the revelation of his lordship. I mean, I just love what he says when he asks that question, that demon. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? And then just ignore what I say. You don't do what I say. I mean, how ridiculous is that? Let me ask yourself, do I call him Lord? Do I do what he says? Because if I don't do what he says, I got no business calling him Lord. I just call him Lord, he's going to cover all the disobedience. It just makes me more of a hypocrite. His house must be the foundation for our house. If our house is going to remain standing when the storms come through. Mm-hmm. And they will come. Oh yes, they will. But when he truly is our Lord, we can stand and we can declare, Jesus is Lord. That's not just some mantra. That's not just some statement that we think is the right thing to say at certain times. No, Jesus is Lord because he's my Lord. We can proclaim his Lordship over every adverse circumstance, over everything that comes against us, if he really is our Lord. If we really and truly understand what it means to be holy as he is holy. Well, here's one for you. Be wholly dependent upon him. Be wholly persuaded that he is able to do what he promised. See, too often that the building of the church has been taken out of the Lord's hands. And so his design and his plan to rebuild the tabernacle of David has ended up in ruins again. And instead of the tabernacle of David, complex religious systems with hierarchical priesthoods and people with fancy titles have been created in place of the simplicity of the tabernacle of David, where there was access to everybody. And let me just qualify that, because I've been thinking about this a lot over the last few years. There was access to everybody who wanted to be there. Yes. They weren't there out of necessity. They were there because they wanted to be there. Because as far as David was concerned, there was no better place to be. See, under the old system of sacrifices, you didn't have to come much further than the altar of sacrifice. Present your sacrifice. And then the priesthood did everything else. Then you could take off and say, thank God that's over. See you next week. See you next feast. See you next this. See you next. Come on. That's that covered. That's why the Father's not seeking old covenant law keepers. The Father is looking for worshippers. Worshippers. They want to be in his presence. Not some of the time. You want to be in his presence all of the time. All of the time. All of the time. They don't want to do anything that will hinder. Their ability to live in his presence. To access all that he has made available. And the church abandons the simplicity of Jesus' plan for his church, and they reintroduce these complex religious systems. You know, these systems, they hinder people from having a strong personal relationship with God. Again, that's achieved through simply, that's based upon nothing but simply accepting what Jesus accomplished at the cross in all of its fullness and appropriating that by faith.
Yeah.
Everything. He did it all. Everything. Absolutely everything. He did it all. There's nothing, as I said before, you can have as much of his presence, as much of his power, and as much of his glory as you want. The choice is yours. How much do you want? How much would you like? I want to come in his presence and say, supersize me.
Yeah.
Supersize me. Supersize me. See, when we were born again, when we were born from above, the Bible says something supernatural happened. People are running around chasing supernatural stuff when they're already supernatural. Hey, I encourage you, go home tonight, look in the mirror. What's looking back at you is super. If you're born again, if you are born from above, what is looking back at you is as supernatural as it gets. I said, it's as supernatural as it gets. You ain't going to get any more supernatural than what's looking back at you. Than who's looking back at you. Because when you were born again, you were translated supernaturally from one kingdom to another. You know that you were actually translated from death to life. Now you can just say that quickly and pass over it and go, oh, I suppose so. Or you can stop and chew on that for a little while. And that, because that doesn't happen naturally. That happens naturally. You go from life to death.
Yeah.
But not supernaturally. Supernaturally, you go from death to life. You were translated from the kingdom of darkness. Do you remember what it was like in that? It was a mean place. It was a horrible place. It was a fearful place. It was a stressful place. It was a place of anxiety. Peer pressure. Remember that stuff? Remember how hard it was to conform? Trying to get everybody to accept you, to love you, to like you, talk with you, not run away when they saw you coming. Pressure, 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 pressure. Hey, you don't live there anymore.
Yeah.
When we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship. I don't even need you to like me anymore. Because I look at you and I say, we're just two fellas on the same ship. Hallelujah. And it's life's going to be a lot easier if we get along. But even if you don't like me, I'm still going to have fellowship with you. Because the blood that washed me is the blood that washed you. The blood that washed him is the blood that washed you and all. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Jesus said, the world isn't going to like you. Because they're still in the old kingdom. They're going to say, if they didn't like me. I mean, I'm as good as it gets. Jesus is saying that. If they didn't like me, what chance have you got? Get over yourself. The only way they're ever going to like you is when they make the transition. Then they're going to wonder why they never liked you. Then they're going to love you. Oh, whoa. We know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Couldn't stand them, but now I love them. I don't understand. Something's happened. It's supernatural. As Sid Roth would say. It's supernatural. I was talking to someone about that. I said, I'm not really sure, you know, if I've made the transition yet. You know, I love going to church, I love going to prayer meeting, I love doing all these things. He said, I'm not really sure, really, if I've made that full step yet. I said, so tell me today. I said, where would you rather be? Would you rather be with the Lord's people? I love terms like that. Would you rather be with the Lord's people? Or would you rather be back in the pub? He says, oh, the Lord's people. I says, well, the Bible says we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren, because we'd rather be with the Lord's people. I tell you, I'd rather be on my own than back in the pub. Because I know I'm never on my own. I said, and the Lord knows, He knows that we need human companionship and human friendship and fellowship, but He also knows we don't need it at the expense, at the cost of having to go back into something that we've been delivered out of. We have been translated, folks, from the world to the church. We were removed from the world system. We were added to the church. As Pink Floyd put it so well, just another brick in the wall. Living stones! Living stones! Part of the church. added to the church that he is building. For a brand new, I'm going to finish this tonight. Go back to it. Hallelujah. We're a brand new order of creation. Anyone? Say anyone.
Anyone.
Say that includes me. Say I'm just anyone. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Phrases like, "Are your flesh sometimes?" I'm not just anyone. Oh yes, yeah. Well, I'd rather be an anyone in that verse anyway. Yeah. I want to be an anyone in there. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. As the NIV puts it so succinctly and so simply, the old has gone. The new has come. Wow. And that's why we don't fit anymore in the old. The new creation doesn't fit in the old. Because we're not in the old anymore. There's something new. We're added to the church. We're finished that fallen world system. It's not that we're escaped the world and we're going to run as far away from the world as we can get. No, we are designed to be part of the church and to be the light of the world. And I want to, please let me help with this. That doesn't happen as one person. You think as one person you can be the light of the world? I've had people say, "I am the church." I say, "Don't be ridiculous. You're not the church." "Yes, I am." I said, "No, you're not." And what they want to do is justify the fact that they don't have fellowship with anybody else. They just can do it at home. I said, "I am the church." I said, "You're not the church. That's totally unscripted. You don't know what the Word of God says. You need to go back to the Bible and go back and read it and read it from cover to cover for a change. Don't just pick one of your favourite wee scriptures that backs up your erroneous doctrines. No, come on. You're not the church. You can't be the church on your own." But Jesus said, "We're two or three are gathered together in my name, then something can happen there. A light can come on there that will get the attention of the world." Come on, somebody. It does not happen on your own. You cannot. I'll tell you, you try and walk in there as a light and they'll snuff you out. They will. They will. Not even, maybe not to your face. But they'll snuff out your light behind your back. I happen to know what I'm talking about. I'm not giving you theory here this evening. We are designed to be the light of the world. A city set upon a hill. I don't know about you, but a city isn't one inhabitant. I love the way Jesus said, "Two or three, that's a start. But hey, I'm building a city." I'm building a city. That's why we need to get back to the simplicity of that heart after God that says, "Yes, Lord, you are holy. You are holy. You are holy because you are holy. I embrace your holiness. I love it. I love it that you have given me this opportunity. Oh, I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful for this opportunity. I'm so thankful that I've been forgiven. Lord, I just can't get away from the awe that that inspires within me just to come before you and embrace your holiness. And say, I want to be holy just like you're holy. I want it to be real. I want it to be real." So many times I get it wrong. So many times I mess it up. And that doesn't cause me to run from you. No, it causes me to run to you. Because in your presence, in the light, there's cleansing, there's forgiveness. There's an endless flow of mercy and grace. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that awesome? That doesn't say, "Now I can go out and do what I like." That says, no, I don't want to do what I want. I want to do what he wants. I want to do it his way. I want to be everything that he has declared himself to be. I want to be like that. I want to be someone that's a beacon of hope to others, not because I'm like them, Not because I'm managing to survive in their world. No, because I'm a new creation. I'm from another world. I'm a supernatural being. I don't do anything by the old book anymore. I do everything by the new book. I don't expect anything bad anymore. I only expect good. I don't expect to be weak and pathetic and powerless. I expect to have power available when I need it. I expect to be able to speak to sickness and say, no, not in my body, you won't. I expect to be able to do that. Why? Because he's made me holy.
That's right.
Whole. Spirit, soul, and body. I expect to be able to say the depression, no, you're not going to come on my mind. No. And I'll tell you, sometimes I wanted to go on with this, the artist told me. I wanted to come somewhere, there's a bit down here, I just wanted to get to bed. Hallelujah. Go Woshaka. Let me just say this as I try and wind this up right now. It's all about. I don't even like to put it into the second person or third. It's Jesus, it's all about you. See, whenever it becomes about me, I just want to give up. I just want to quit. I want to walk away. I just want to bury myself in everything ugly and horrible. But see, as long as I keep my eyes on you and keep looking at you and realize it's actually all about you, it's not about me, it's about you, then there's no room to stop or quit or give up.
Right.
will be.
Yeah.
My Saviour, my Healer, my Deliverer, my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Well, some of the time, all of the time. No matter how black or dark it appears all around, glory to God, I'm in the light because you're in the light and I'm here with you. And your blood has taken care of everything. It doesn't matter how far away it may appear to anybody looking in from the outside. I know that 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 you are faithful to fulfill your word in my life. Let's stand up together, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you that you've given us everything that we would ever need, Lord, to stay strong. To stay strong, Lord, from the inside out, not from the outside in, not with an outward form of religion, Lord God, but from the inside out. You've made everything that we would ever need, not just available, but abundantly available. We choose to access everything that you've made available to us in your presence. Because yours is the kingdom, and yours is the power, and yours is the glory forever. And ever, and ever, and ever, and ever. Amen.